Hi.
Hi, Till. It's Norm.
Hi, Norm. There's also someone else?
I don't think so. Is there?
Yes, yes, I see. Oh, yes, someone... No, someone dropped... Now there's a third. Now, who joined?
Hi, this is Ira.
Hi, Ira.
It asks for your name, but then apparently it doesn't announce you.
Yes, yes. I don't know for what it asks for the name. As there is no possibility to hear these names. Any one of you has listened to the recording of last week, of last month?
No, I haven't.
I know I haven't.
Yes, I have announced it by email and it's uploaded to the Open Printing server. We are not dependent on instant conference.
Mm-hmm.
So one can download it at any time.
Okay, well, I have not listened to it.
Yes, so it's only for the case if someone has not participated so that you can listen afterwards.
Right.
I also talked to Glenn, who had forgotten about the hour earlier in the U.S., but I don't know why. It was last month, too. But anyway, he will be calling in, I think, shortly.
Yes.
And hopefully someone else, like George Liu or someone else, will join us. We shall see.
Yes, I hope so, too.
Or perhaps Toritani-san or one of the Japanese members.
Yes, this I hope also. You have also done a reminder so that they got it twice.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I sent out a reminder from yeah.
Yes, yes.
I didn't send yet another reminder today, although I considered it. I probably should have.
Yes, only problem can be that when people came back from holidays and started work today, that perhaps the two mails are under a lot of other mails and they didn't see them.
Yes, I imagine a lot of other mails.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the only problem with even trying to get feedback on whether we should move it out a week, and I thought, well, we should just go ahead and do it today and do what we can do.
Yes.
At least because the Open Printing Summit is coming up in April, which is 3 months.
Yes. And therefore we have to start now to organize it. Yes, one thing is that we do it together with Linux Foundation Collaboration Summit, so that we can have joint meetings and we can have people from other groups, for example from the desktop or so, who can join our meetings. Now someone else dialed, but probably he's now announcing his name, not listen, so that we cannot hear it. Because I got the message on the screen.
Well, I just heard a beep. That's Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Yes, I have here on the screen the overview of the call in the web interface of instant conference call.
That's
and when someone calls in, at first appears his number, and in the status field appears not present, and some seconds later it turns to active, and then I get a beep on the phone and we can listen to this person. So it seems that when the person has dialed the access code but not yet announced the name, that then this not present appears. So I see some seconds before the person appears on the call that this person calls in.
Well, shall we wait a minute or two longer before beginning, or shall we go ahead and talk about the Open Printing Summit topic?
Perhaps we can wait some 2 minutes or so.
I think that's a good idea.
Because, for example, George Liu called in the last 2 or 3 times, so most probably he will call in this time too.
Again, if he saw the email.
Yes.
Yeah, I was
and
just...
Perhaps we should return to having... perhaps you should make the minutes as you did them before, and having in the end of the minutes the proposed dates for the next 2 meetings and so.
I am doing so, Jill, on the assumption that you and Glenn and Norm could lead the discussion today on Open Printing Summit and I could type.
Yes, yes, we can do so.
Besides the summit, I see from old minutes, but it seems here semi-relevant now that we have both Norm and Till on. Where do we stand with the Google Summer of Code? Is there an evaluation to be written, Norm, for your student
I submitted I submitted an evaluation back in August.
Okay.
So I think, as far as I know, everything's done.
Okay.
Yes. For Google, everything is done. No one has missed anything to do, and also the Linux Foundation has got the $4,000, and so everything has worked correctly with the Google Summer of Code.
Okay.
I think even if we did not get so much as we expected, I think we will do it again in 2009.
Now, but I think we need to be very specific on what we specify and limited scope.
Yes. One thing also is that, for example, that the guy who wanted to make the web interface for administering open printing, he has promised a lot what he wanted to do, but it seems that he has finally given up. He wanted to do it as a semester, his end of the course project, but they didn't let him to do, and then he told that he wanted to do something at least on a voluntary base, but now he has written he has no time and will probably not be able to do anything before he has finished his course. And so, for the Common Printing Dialogue, I have also some news. The Lars Übernickel, he is now working at least for some some hours a week or so for patching the standard libraries so that one can plug in printing dialogues by the dbus interface which he has defined, but at first to do this with a standard dialog, so which would mean that if you are using GNOME, all applications will show the GTK dialog, if they are either GTK or Qt application, and vice versa, if you are using KDE, they all will show the KDE dialog. And as one thing to plug in Peter's dialog without individually changing all the applications due to the preview, as the preview inside the dialog has to communicate forth and back with the application.
Oh, so it's a call out from the dialog. Yeah, that's a kind of a problem.
Yes, so, and therefore we must at first start to establish the DBus interface.
I was going to say, is there a full description?
And to say a common printing dialog is simply the dialog of the currently running desktop. And it is common in the sense that it is the same for all applications, independent which toolkit the applications are using.
So is there a definition of the DBus signals that's been
There is a spec if you go onto the Open Printing website, and there onto the page about the common printing dialog, there are three specs, and one spec is for the DBus interface.
Okay.
Someone else is coming in, and in some seconds we will know. 408 is his local code. Hi, who is
Hello.
There?
Thank you. This is George.
Hi, George.
Hi, George. Glad you
Hello.
Could join us. I was so confident you would come, you are still sitting tentatively in the attendees, not the absent.
Yeah, it's because this is the first day after the holidays, so it's kind of crazy in office now.
We were just realizing that the both announcements, Till's and my reminder, were sitting behind 1,000 messages in every
Yes, and depending on which end of this 1,000 messages one starts, whether you start with the oldest or the newest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a certain sense that you need to start with the oldest or you'll never get to them. If you once put off, it might stay put off a long time.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit about results of Google Summer of Code and now specifically Common Printing Dialog, George.
Yeah.
So what Till was saying is Lars is patching standard print dialogs, GNOME, etc., to invoke CPD, but it's tricky because of the preview interface, which causes application dependency.
I talked with Till during the Ubuntu Summit in early December, I believe. So
That we have met personally.
Yeah, I think the one of the opinions we have is for the first version, first phase of CPD, we do not support preview. The standard.
That's actually a good solution because what we were then saying was what we need is the DBus interface for CPD, and that's the solution to application independence.
And it took a long time until Lars got ready with Fumetic, and I did then the last bug fixes on Fumetic to complete it. Now I'm updating the documentation so that in the next days I can finally release. Lars is now working on the interface, on the DBus interface, so that at first one can at least get into the situation that when you are running GNOME, that all applications show the GNOME dialog, independent whether the applications are Qt applications, GNOME applications, or something else. And also, if you are running KDE, that all applications show the KDE dialog.
Yeah. I think that's a very good idea.
Yes, doing this by the DBus interface, by patching the standard libraries.
they started talking about a common print dialogue, I believe, from
yes, and this is already a certain common printing dialogue. Is it the same dialogue for all applications?
Yeah. Because I think the first approach is
the further step would be to get to the situation that one to get APIs or to get the applications directly talking to DBus and not through the toolkit libraries, and then one could use Peter's dialogue.
Yeah, that's correct.
And also anyone who does not like Peter's dialogue or who thinks in another way printing is easier and more user-friendly, he can feel free to start a free software project of his own printing dialogue, and then users and distributions have choice. He only needs to program against the DBus interface, and then everyone can use this printing dialogue with every application.
Agreed, although I don't really think that we hope that a whole lot of people start inventing yet.
Yes, I think that will not be a whole lot of projects of printing dialogues.
I hope
it is only a theoretical possibility.
Discourages people a little bit from inventing yet another printing dialogue. Otherwise, why did we do the common printing dialogue?
Yes, because then it can come to this, if there are too many printing dialogues around which connect through this interface, then we can run into the situation that one gets in, that one has a certain dialogue, uses it at home and likes it, and then one gets to work, and the employer does not have this dialogue installed, and so one has to use another dialogue.
No, but I think it is possible for there to be multiple print dialogues. For example, let's OpenOffice, they already have their own print dialogue. Maybe someday they'll say, okay, we will implement the DBus interface and make it available for other applications. I think like Lotus Notes or Star Office, they might do something similar.
As one thing is, what I hope also is if the DBus interface for the printing dialogue establishes that, then similar interfaces will come up for the CFS, for the open, and for other standard dialogues. And so that an original idea of the Portland project gets reality finally.
So do you have any rough schedule on when do you think Lars could finish, and when do you think we can see distributions
One thing is to accelerate this, to get more quickly to this situation. Lars would like to have that he gets perhaps some part-time or so paid for it, some contract, so that he can say, I work definitely, for example, 2 days per week on that, and reduce my other job. So if someone, for example, Epson or Rico or some other sponsor could jump in, it would be a great thing.
Is there any chance of Linux Foundation sponsoring?
I think not. Because once I've already sent an email to Glenn and asked, but I never got an answer.
Well, what?
About whether one could give Lars some contract for working on printing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I forwarded to the right people, but I never heard either, so...
Yes.
And I don't think it's a good thing.
Just I'm going to have a pretty hard stop at the hour or perhaps a bit before tonight. So if by way of talking about when the next meetings are, could we do that? Just as a quick interlude?
Yes, we can do so.
February 2nd and 3rd look good. I don't know if there being a holiday. Does anybody know of conflicts with those days? It's several weeks before the PWG meeting in Hawaii.
Ooh, another meeting in Hawaii?
Yeah.
That's good, in February, yeah.
I hope you're planning on going, George.
But we have, I hope I can go, but I'm not sure the budget allows us to do that. Right now, all the travels are kind of a freeze.
Will someone get to that meeting? Because it's probably rather expensive to get there.
Glenn, you're planning on going, right?
Yeah.
I could go. I have the funding to go from Samsung. I don't think the timing's going to work for me with other Samsung meetings. What about also the subsequent month, March 2nd and 3rd, as tentative? Does anybody have conflicts with those? If not, I'll put those in the minutes when I get to that part.
Yes.
Okay. Carry on, Till.
Yes, one thing is not in some days I hope I will finally release Fumatic 4.0. So
what's the problem for Fumatic 4.0?
It was that the last important bugs were only fixed shortly before Christmas.
But what
and
are you going to release?
The Christmas break, and before the Christmas break, I didn't get the documentation finished. But now the documentation is shortly before finished, and when this is finished, then I will release.
So this month, Till?
Yes. I think perhaps even this week.
Release within the next several weeks?
Yes, most probably by the end of this week.
Okay.
This week or next?
Yes, one thing which I was also working on today was to get certain bugs fixed and patches get into GhostScript because they have feature freeze in 2 weeks for the February, for 8.64 in February.
So what's wrong with GhostScript? What patches you made to fix which bug?
One thing is there were several patches which were simply in Debian hanging around and carried over from one release to the next, and it should be much better when they are upstream because they are of general interest.
Are you also maintaining the Debian's printing system?
What?
Are you also maintaining? I'm the maintainer of Debian's printing system.
I'm for the CUPS package. I'm working together with Martin Pitt on maintaining it for both Debian and Ubuntu. They are synchronized, so they are exactly the same package in both distributions. They only deviate from each other when there's a freeze in one of the two.
But Debian and Ubuntu have different release cycles, right?
Yes. So usually when a distro is frozen, one of them is frozen. And then if we then need to release a package, then we release also for only one of the distributions. But usually we make it for the two. We release the same package into the two distributions. GhostScript I'm maintaining for Ubuntu, but the package is more or less the same as for Debian. The Debian maintainer simply takes over my changes and I take over his changes.
Okay.
And therefore I know that there are tons of patches and that it's really better that they are upstream. yeah, lot of PDF bugs in the last half year. I've already fixed some bugs by myself. I've reported a lot of bugs which got fixed, and GhostScript works much better now. And the 8.64 will be a much better version of GhostScript than the ones before.
Yeah, I got a question. Since the printing is switching to propeller-based system, so is GhostScript necessary?
Mm-hmm. One thing is, I think it's not good to really switch to propeller. I think it is. I'm now more in favor of using GhostScript as PDF interpreter, and therefore I've put also a lot of effort in GhostScript to make it better, to make it working better with PDF. One thing is, you can very easily reuse all the existing drivers if you use GhostScript as the interpreter. And second, GhostScript is much more advanced in color management. And there's really a guy actively working on color management in GhostScript. And if one of the next projects we want to do is color management on the operating system level, on the printing system level, it is very important that we have a PDF workflow where color management fits in, and therefore I'm in favor of GhostScript as PDF interpreter. For example, I've also written, one of my GhostScript parts is that I've written a PDF to raster filter, which is GhostScript based.
So,
and this I have put into upstream GhostScript.
So in that case, do we need to use the PDF filters by Otani-san?
Some we need. For example, the PDF to PDF filter, which is the filter which reorders the pages. This works much better with Poplar. But for example, the PDF to raster driver from Otani-san, it has also problems. This one can be dropped.
Mm-hmm. So right now,
The current Ubuntu, I have already replaced it by my GhostScript based one.
And so in Ubuntu
in upstream GhostScript, which all the time contained a PDF to raster driver, it contains also my PDF to raster driver.
So in Ubuntu 8.10, is it using Poplar-based PDF rasterizer or using GhostScript-based?
This uses the Poplar-based one, the 8.10. And after 8.10, in the development cycle of Jaunty of 9.04, there I have done this replacement. The problems came up and the idea of switching came up already after the release.
I see.
But as certain drivers broke completely with Otani-san's driver, one thing I have done in 8.10, if you don't use the original, if you use the stable release updates, the bug fixes which were applied after release, it is also switched to my driver, because I found so many problems with different drivers, so that I've put out a stable release update so that that my PDF to raster driver is used in Intrepid. So okay. If you have a correctly updated Intrepid, you use also my PDF to raster driver.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yes, the PDF to raster of Otani-san has been disqualified because it had a lot of incompatibilities with printer drivers. And on the other drivers, I got also a lot of bug fixes. I've reported several bugs to Otani-san, and he has fixed them quickly, and I have made stable release updates for Intrepid from bug fixes. So, and whenever I've changed something in this workflow and updated files, I've always updated the open printing page, wiki page of the PDF printing workflow, and follow the instructions there, you get the newest state of the PDF workflow. And on the 1st of February, GoScript 8.64 comes out. And then you can do a PDF workflow without needing any patches on GoScript, because all fixes are then natively in GoScript. All the fixes which I did on GoScript, I always directly applied upstream and backported as a patch to Ubuntu, but always applied upstream, so 8.64 contains everything. So you can easily do make up a PDF workflow with GoScript 8.64. So to say for the next editions of Linux distributions. The only thing is that Mike Sweet does not say anything about the feature request which I have made of integrating the PDF workflow in TUBS. Yes, and one thing is you do not only need the basic things for PDF workflow is you will have Fumatic 4.0, GoScript 8.64, and the package of filters from Otani-san.
So what do you mean by MicroSuite integrating the PDF workflow into CUPS?
It's the following. What I hope is that MicroSuite would take the filters of Otani-san and make them part of CUPS, so that they get maintained inside CUPS.
But CUPS doesn't include the Poplar, right?
CUPS does not include Poplar, but CUPS 1.4, for example, already includes a PDF2PS filter, which uses Poplar.
Oh, I see.
And CUPS does not need to include Poplar, because Poplar is a free software dynamic library, and so you can make any program use this library. And this library is very common. You find it on every distribution.
I have one question, too, about shifting back towards GoScript from Poplar here. Glenn, doesn't this have negative impact on small embedded systems?
Well, small embedded systems won't use GoScript. They won't use CUPS. I mean, it's
okay.
Totally an environment.
All right, so you mean they're not going to recover those filters anyway?
So small embedded systems probably do not use a PDF workflow. They probably render directly into their applications perhaps rasterized directly, or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different architecture. I mean, GoScript renders one full page at a time, okay? You figure out how many bits that takes to do that. Not possible.
In color, it's absurd.
Huh?
In color, it's absurd.
Yes, it's it can be gigabytes.
Yeah.
Depending on how much
one moment, please.
But.
So, in a small embedded system, GoScript is always oriented on a page. It creates a page, and then it sends it out to the printer, perhaps also in bands when the printer cannot take a full page, but it always draws a page at first.
Yeah, normally it doesn't band unless you make it.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't band normally.
And
it's about 100 bytes.
It does also draw a page at first.
not gigabytes, 5 megabytes to about 100, about 200 megabytes per page. A lot of memory.
Yes.
And it also doesn't have the processing power.
Well, that's the other thing. It's something that generates something that big is running threads that can't possibly be executed effectively.
One thing is
a small processor.
What kind of printing one does from an embedded system, from a mobile phone, for example?
Yeah, that's part of the discussion of what needs to be done. I mean, rumor has it that they're trying to put cups into iPhone.
What?
Rumor has it they're trying to put cups into iPhone?
Sure.
Peps as a client, so that you don't have a queue which renders something on the iPhone. You don't connect the iPhone with USB or with a wireless network to a printer. But perhaps you print from the iPhone when you are in an environment where you have also a PC, and the PC does the rendering. So the PC is a cup server which broadcasts a queue, and the iPhone, for example, could catch up the broadcast, and so the cups daemon of the iPhone shows the queue, and when you send a job into it, this job gets forwarded to the PC, which has broadcasted this queue, and then the PC renders the job.
It's more likely to be print by reference, and
yes.
You
probably all know this client-server principle of cups. And so if you have a cups daemon only working as a client, you could do it on an embedded system without problems. Only if you want to render on an embedded system, this gets difficult.
Yeah,
it gets interesting.
Well,
cups usually understands different formats. For example, an iPhone, when it wants to print a photo, it does not need to make a PDF out of the photo. It can send the photo as a JPEG image, and the rendering PC converts it at first to PDF, and then from PDF to the printer's native format.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different solutions for embedded. I wrote a correction or a modification to a browser to directly create the image in a memory buffer and send it without ever going through a print dialog or programming, without going through GoScript or CUPS or anything, in bands, one line at a time if that's what you wanted. So you saved a lot of memory and all the processing overhead. So there are a lot of ways to do it.
Yes.
Depends, like I said, where you want the rendering to occur, the rasterization to occur.
Yes. And one thing is, naturally, one could even have in a PDF workflow that there's not only one solution for it. For example, for PC environments where you have higher expectations, for example, you want to have color management, you could have a GoScript-based workflow. And if you have... If Poplar, for example, would do the same job with a lot less memory, but without color management, then perhaps on an embedded you can work with Poplar, and you work without color management. Then you can at least print not so nicely as on a PC, but you can print.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole different set of use cases. I mean, if you're going to print high quality, then you're going to print by reference. If you all of a sudden don't have a computer and you need to print, typically you're going to print phone photos or phone messages or emails. I mean, that's all business-level printing, which doesn't require a high level of color management with, and you can get away with
phone areas. Phone MOS are so bad quality, you don't need to print them with color management.
I mean, if you print your phone picture in high quality, it looks like crud.
yes.
Because the original image is bad.
Yeah, if you have a digital SLR, you load the images to a PC and print from the PC, and their color management makes sense.
Yeah, so there may be different print models or different use cases depending on whether you're connected to a host.
As long as we are not thinking now how we implement the printing system inside the digital SLR, as this one is also an embedded system. direct print from the digital SLR to the printer. Once it is already implemented by a PIC bridge, then the SLR simply sends the JPEG image to the printer, and the printer does all the rest.
Yeah, so one of my comments I made last year, November, December, was to the Common Print Dialogue to add two levels to it, to the existing two levels, where they reduced it down from, I think it's called, I can't remember the numbers now because it's been too long, but basically there are two window frames or three window frames now?
Yes.
So reduce it down to one frame for an embedded phone type thing and to no frames for a truly embedded device. Phones are called handhelds versus embedded. Embedded typically means there's no display.
Yes.
So, I think if we can...
There's no display, there's no dialogue.
Right, so you have a dialogue-less dialogue. You
yes.
still need to use the capability of the dialogue.
When you have a system without display, you either remote control it by a web interface, then you have to do some printing dialogue in a web browser.
It's more controlled application directly, but I'd like to see those two...
Or you put configuration files in it, and it prints all the jobs the same way.
Right.
And there are automated processes which print a summary every day or whatever a completely displayless system has to print.
You would like the back end of that whole system, the applications or whatever, to just simply send that command to a dialogue-less...
Dialogue.
E.
Yeah.
So it behaves the same whether there's a dialogue sitting there or not a dialogue sitting there. It sends the same information.
So that the application can change the way it's going to...
Right.
And it's not just a profile till. It actually is... It's still the functional behavior, the Common Print Dialogue. It just happens to be driven directly by the application and the humans, not part of the picture.
And I got no comment back from Peter, but I think adding the two extensions does not deteriorate or derail the current project by any means.
Yes, I think so too.
And I mean, if I go back to working on the embedded and handheld, I'll continue doing that. The amount of information that you need in the PPD to handle the one frame for the handhelds is very easy to deal with, and I think it's a very good approach. And people then have users then have common experiences, even from the handheld on up.
Yeah, that seems like what we were aiming for all along.
So if no one has any real problems here, I'm going to keep proposing it. So.
I would urge that you keep proposing it, and that Till and others speak up.
There's no effort to it. It's just basically we go from, two frames to one frame, which basically has the predefines, okay?
Yeah.
And it gets some information from the printer, so it knows how to do rendering. Is it 360 or 300 if it's HP, or 360 if it's us, or, blah, 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 blah. So. Enough bandwagon. Bye.
We are using up most of our hour pretty quick here, folks, and I can't really go all the way to the hour because I got commitments elsewhere.
Yes, yes. So we should perhaps shortly now talk about the printing summit. As out of the short news section, which I wanted to do, a long discussion came out.
The summit is the 8th through the 10th of April, by the way.
Yes, yes. This is the most important. This is the date. It's also known already in which hotel it is.
The 12th of the what?
The 8th through the 10th of April.
8th through 10, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
8 to 10, April. Where?
San Francisco.
In San Francisco, somewhere in the middle of the city in a hotel.
Oh, you don't know what hotel?
He does.
Yes, yes, I know which hotel. I can find it now.
Don't tell me now.
Never mind. We'll worry about it later.
That's fine. The where the city is what needs to get into minutes for others. We have 3 days, and Till, I presume that the first day will be various general meetings and we would not have open printing sessions? Or is that true?
There are various general meetings, but based on the number of days we need, perhaps one can get already a room on that day. I only need to ask the organizers of the collaboration summit.
Okay, so we possibly could use 3 days and not
yes.
two.
Yeah, the one thing is that we end on Friday. I think April 10 is a Friday. So we cannot add a day after the end.
Okay. So I'd like to propose, I think the meetings that we had with the desktop people.
8 to 10, we end on a Friday.
And the integration people went very well the last summit. And I think we've gone a long way since then, and we really should have those, we get those scheduled again.
Right.
Yes. Desktop people, you mean? Yes, we had one common meeting with the desktop people, one with the driver backports, and one with the LSB.
Yeah, the LSB was probably not so important, but the backport and the...
The LSB, nothing came out. We have concluded stuff, but the LSB people did not implement them.
We have Till to help with that, so don't worry about it.
I cannot do everything.
Sure you can, and you don't sleep.
Okay, so I've recorded meetings should be scheduled.
I have made 5 students not sleeping.
So, that led up to my other question, Ira, to your thing, is, or Till's thing, is what pre-meetings do we need to have, let's say, on the 8th, to get ready for those meetings?
Yes. Oh, right. That could be a good topic on the 8th, couldn't it?
Yeah. What do we need to discuss, get ready and organize?
And we rather hope that before we go there on the 8th, whoever's got some slides or something to talk to the desktop people has posted them maybe a week before. But, yes, on the 8th, we need to nail down what should be said to others.
Right. Have any last-minute information or demos or whatever. So
yeah. I will attempt to be there. I will say I can travel to one and only one public standards meeting in the first half of the calendar year, and both PWG meetings and some others are also in the running for that money for me.
Well, since it's only 45 minutes away from me, I guess I'll go.
I assume you would. Norm, do you think that you could travel or that Wendy could come to it?
I don't know if I will or not. I may. I may try to schedule it so it coincides with some travel I'd be doing anyway. Wendy will probably go.
Okay. Well, pinging her with a note that reminds her of the actual dates would be good, if you didn't mind.
Yeah, I will. I'll probably talk to her. Oh, I know I will.
Yes. So, yes, that we have already defined her as a volunteer to participate in this meeting.
Yeah, well, we talked about this actually last couple weeks ago before break. Yeah. And, you know, she was, I think she was planning on going, so.
Okay, good.
We'll just verify it.
All right. Planning it along with other meetings is good for me. Unfortunately, my client is in L.A. and not in San Francisco, so, you know, it doesn't actually coordinate very well. I'll see. You may have to carry on without my presence. I should know in the next month or so, more likely whether I can attend or not. Okay. Until you definitely plan to attend?
Yes.
George, are you going to attend in San Francisco in April? Are you there?
He must have left.
Yes, I will look into this Yes, George is disconnected. One person is disconnected.
That was
probably George.
So you probably, I guess the next step, Bill, is to kind of get a tentative activity list or something, right?
Yeah, topic list.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that includes the two joint sessions with desktop and with driver backports groups.
Right.
And so every one of you is encouraged to give their suggestions.
Okay, are you going to have another Google Summer of Code thing this next year?
Yes. I will.
So that
I will do it.
We should bring that up and discuss it on the 8th of what activities we think are...
Yeah, sure should. Yeah, on the 8th, we should discuss what activities, because we should be able to, you know...
Yeah, the one thing is the application period for the mentoring organizations and for the students, this happens all in March.
Right.
So we must already do the suggestions of activities for students, define them before March. This is also very important for all of you.
Yeah. That's a separate email.
If you have ideas, that you get them quickly enough to me.
So Till, send out a topic, send out a note to Printing Architecture pointing out that in the next month we need to figure out what these things are, because otherwise you're not going to be ready in March.
Yes. And on the Printing Summit we can talk about details. We will know already who are the students who get a slot, and or it's more or less we are in the period where we decide who are the students who get a slot. We have all the applications then, but the deadline for the mentoring organizations to decide on which students will make it is not yet in
that for a while
period. It's after the Printing Summit. So on the Printing Summit, we can make the final decision on the students who will make it into the Printing Summit. So we can finally decide which projects will be worked on by the students and who will do what, which students we reassign from one project to another, and so that we, in the end, we get the right projects worked on.
Yeah, and I agree with Norm. We need to define the expectations better.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know what gets done. I mean, I've had many summer students, and you need to define their projects such that at the end there's some kind of completion of something.
Yes.
In a piecewise, that someone else can either continue it or wait to the next year.
Right. We need to limit the scope.
And we want to avoid that we open the same projects again and
again and again and again, yeah.
Yes,
right.
Because the last student did not work out.
We also don't want student dependency, although, you know, there's nothing wrong with the students we have. They may go on to regular jobs.
Yep.
So they may not be available, so.
Yes.
So we want to make sure we don't fall into a trap of, you know.
Yes, and then we must also make sure that these subjects are really, really still needed. For example, I think it was not a good choice in the last Google Summer of Code that we have run a student on PAPI. We had perhaps better run this student as a third student on the Common Printing Dialogue or as a second student on the administration interface for the Open Printing website.
I think you call it lessons learned.
Yes.
And we go.
The PAPI is really out of date where everyone uses cups.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just part of what Norm said of defining the situation.
Yep.
But if we can outline the general area project, we can discuss them in more detail at the face-to-face.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm putting in the minutes that there's a March submission deadline for GSOC 2009 that we need topics defined by mid-February in order to prepare.
Yes.
But not necessarily the details.
No, no, topics identified.
There we
yeah,
go.
So that at least I can make the application as mentoring organization for the Linux Foundation.
Right.
What headcount are you proposing, Till?
What?
What headcount are you hoping for?
How many students?
How many students? I hope that this year I get more than last year. Last year it was 8 students, and 5 of these 8 for open printing. And how many one gets, this depends also on how many subjects one has suggested and so on.
But also there's a certain limit in a limitation in how many mentors there are.
yes.
Right.
Love has already told me he also will do mentoring.
Okay, so let's just start with 5 and 2.
For a student on the Common Printing Dialogue.
Right. I agree with Glenn. I'm going to record that a target of 5 GSOC students, 5 or more GSOC 2009 students, interns. For OP project. And Lars has will volunteer as a mentor.
Yes.
So he won't be a student.
Yes, because his course is over when the cutoff code starts. He cannot enter as a student anymore.
Yeah, so that's part of the problem is we no longer have him as a student.
Yes.
Yeah, right. proven performers have this sad thing that they stop being students.
Yes, this is a problem of students. They are not students forever.
It's called the Peter Principle. We've graduated them to a level of...
What?
Never mind.
Maybe I'll go take a class.
You don't have enough work to do, Norm?
Yeah, you know how that goes.
Between breathing, you can do the.
Yeah, well, I already don't get to sleep, so.
Until doesn't. I don't know if I like this Linux world.
It's the following: if you don't, we make a Google Summer of Code, taking a certain number of students who are supposed not to sleep for 3 months.
So you can catch up, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Are we just about done? Because it's the hour, and
yes.
I gotta get in my
one friend. One short news: the hotel is the Hotel Kubaki.
Bye.
Order Como, and now I must look again. It's
don't
send
do
back
that.
In
the Hotel
and
Kabuki.
Kabuki
anyway. In Japantown, San Francisco. It's off the chain Joie de Vivre.
Send an email.
Yeah,
Phil,
send an email with it, and I'll reference it or mention it that it's in an email at least.
Yes, I can then also give a link to a Google map.
Yeah.
So that you can easily calculate how many hours you have to drive to arrive there.
Yep. Okay.
But I didn't try to calculate it.
We will talk the 2nd of February, if not before.
What?
We will talk the 2nd of February, if not before.
Yes.
And I need to go. I really do. I have to go. I have
right.
A gig.
Yes. then
when I say good night,
you can then I let we let you go, and then please send the minutes.
I'll send them tomorrow.
And if we still talk something, you can listen on the recording.
Yeah, I will try.
Yes, it's a long download. Yeah. It's some megabytes of download, this MP3 file.
Yep.
So okay. It can take some time if you want to download the recording.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
I'm going to leave, too.
Yes.
All
right. Bye.
I'm done.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Someone still there?